call a meeting of the town of Scotty Bay to order. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Leet.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Mayer.
Here.
Director Pease is absent. Director Steele is absent.
We have any public comments tonight? Anything that's not on the agenda? 3 minutes.
Greg Fulton has been discussing traffic matters for several months. Recently received the results of the traffic survey from the traffic engineer. And the synopsis is that the survey on my street, 87% of the vehicles traveling on my street were doing between 26 and 35 miles an hour. Mind you, that's a 25 mile an hour zone. There was a footnote to it that the traffic engineer put in there that said that he thought as though law enforcement would have to do a time issuing violations for that, which I'm not sure why that was thrown in there, but when we're having speeds of 26 to 35 in a residential, that's a major issue. And I forwarded on to Donnie Thomas, of course, basically saying this here in this forum so that the sheriff can hear that. Hopefully Discovery Point can have somebody out there watching traffic. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Moving on to the consent calendar.
So moved. I'm sorry, I was waving at somebody.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Get me in trouble.
Okay, now that who you're moving, you're waving to.
Yeah.
Supervisor Burgess. Alicia, will you be introducing our speaker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Alicia Knuckles with Supervisor Diane Burgess's office. I don't have a supervisor's report myself tonight, but I did bring along Monish Sen, our traffic engineer with the county, who will be going over and updating on the speed and traffic count that was done. Monish?
Thanks, Alicia. Hi, I'm Monish Sen. I'm the traffic engineer from Northwest County. Just to give a little bit of background, several months ago, around October, I believe, I was invited to a Discovery Bay CSD meeting, and it was specific to issues related to traffic. And traffic speeding and that kind of thing. And at that meeting, we discussed a myriad of issues. We talked about some of the challenges in the community and also some of the things that we could possibly do. I was there alone. I didn't have my law enforcement folks there with me. However, when we do talk about in traffic calming, we do talk about the three E's, which is education, enforcement, and engineering. I'm one of the elements. I'm not the only element with speeding. What we promised to do, well, let me take another step back. What we do have is, at our disposal, is the ability to do counts. And what those counts consist of is putting a magnetic counter in the roadway. So you might have seen the old method, which is to put hoses across the road. That's kind of an older method that we don't use anymore. These magnetic counters are placed in the ground, and they actually collect data for 24 to 48 hours. We typically place them we typically do a two-day count, and we typically place them in each direction of travel. So one in each direction of travel. Now, the data that comes from that is it gives you volume, so every vehicle that goes over it counts, and it also gives speeds. Now, this, our estimation of the accuracy of these devices are probably 90 to 95%. So it does give you some stray numbers on the high end and gives you some stray numbers on the low end. But in general, it gives a sense of what people are traveling at on those roads. And so with that being said, we have done previous traffic counts on certain roads. Some of them in the 2014, 2015, and 2012 time frame. So we thought it was only fair to update those that data by getting more recent counts. We deployed throughout Discovery Bay and upon request from specific residents, certain locations which we hadn't previously counted, our speed counters. Now, one of the things that happened was, the reason I'm here all the way into March now and not earlier, is we deployed these counters and these are mechanical devices. There was malfunctions. We were getting a lot of error messages in essence. But because of that, that delayed us and we had to go out later and deploy them all again. So what ended up happening is we got data around mostly, I'm gonna say in the November, should have brought that.
But November 29th or 30th.
Was it the November? Okay, yeah. In the November time frame. And they're mostly Tuesday and Wednesday counts. So we try to capture the weekday regular travelers. The long and the short of it is we have a lot of data. A lot of the data where we can compare against previous data is coming in pretty similar. So what we talk about is 85th percentile when in our law enforcement friends here can help me with this. When we set speed limits, which we can do on collector and arterial roads, however, most of Discovery Bay roads, we can't set the speed limit. It's just 25 based on being local roads, but that's another story. But 85th percentile was considered a kind of a comfortable speed at which reasonable people would travel. There are the 15% which you're trying to capture to bring their speeds down, as well as people who are exceeding the speed limit. And that's typically, you want to do that with those folks who are traveling well in excess of the speed limit. The way to capture them is usually with enforcement. Usually fear works pretty well. So with that being said, I do have the data which I've provided to Alicia. It is a lot of data and it's hard to go through. I'll attempt to kind of give a quick summary if you don't mind. So some of the roadways where we collected data, Newport Drive was one of the roadways. We found 8, again, it's posted 25 because it's considered a local roadway. So the vehicle code allows us to post it at 25. Without doing what's called an engineering traffic survey. Engineering traffic survey is basically based on an 85th percentile of what people are driving. So the speed limit can't be artificially reduced if the general public is driving in this speed limit. We find 85th percentile is elevated. It's 36, 34 miles an hour in a 25 zone. So that doesn't mean everybody's driving at that speed, but there is a majority, there is a significant portion of folks that are going over the speed limit. And that's where I'm gonna somewhat defer to law enforcement in terms of what they feel they can actually capture in terms of speeding and ticketing. So Newport Drive has, in the south side of it, it's more of a, we have lower speeds, which are in the 32 range, in terms of the 85th percentile. Clipper Drive is another roadway, which we had previously collected data on in 2014. We also see speeds significant. We've got 37 miles an hour in terms of 85th percentiles, and we have some 34s. So 10, and then some people going over the speed limit by 10 miles an hour. And then Discovery Bay Boulevard, we have multiple lanes, but there, because Discovery Bay Boulevard is considered a collector, you can set the speed limit based on what people are driving, which is based on an engineering traffic survey. The speed limit there is 40 miles an hour. What we find is people are going the 85th percentiles in the 44 to 45 range. And southbound, it's in the 41 to 46 range. Sandpoint Road, which is close to 25, we do have elevated speeds 37 at the 85th percentile. Willow Lake Road, another roadway which we had not previously collected data on, but based on the previous meeting, we collected data. We do see elevated speeds of 35 in the 85th percentile. Regatta Road, or Drive, we had in 2012 collected data, and again, collected data is close to 25. We're looking at 31 to 29 miles an hour. River Lake Road is another roadway which we collected data for the first time. And again, a 25 roadway, 30 to 31. Discovery Point, another upon request roadway. We see a 25 zone where we were getting 85th percentile of 29 to 32. So that kind of, I know that's a lot of data, it's a lot of, I'm just giving a real broad brush approach to it. Again, I feel comfortable about the data, but it's not exactly perfect. So it gives you a sense of what folks are driving. There's 50th percentile, 85th percentile. And of course, those are people who do exceed the speed limit more dramatically. So with that, can I answer your question?
So when you say 85 percentile, you're saying 85% of the people are driving between 29 and 31 on that particular street. Is that what you're telling me?
What that means is there's people going zero to
let's say it's 31.
85% of the people are driving between zero and 31.
Okay, so the percentile is not to exceed that number.
Not to exceed that.
Okay, so 85% of the people are staying within 6 miles of the speed limit.
Exactly.
Okay.
If not lower,
but right. We just don't know how many. We just know that because
we do. We actually have the data.
You have the data, and is that in digital form?
It is. It's absolutely.
Can that be emailed out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have it. I can forward.
Can you do that for me, Alicia? I'd appreciate it. Just because I'm a numbers freak.
We also have peak speeds, the maximum speeds on
there
the
are,
streets.
There, they do show some high. There is some maximum speed. Absolutely.
Can you share those?
I don't have everything with me, but yeah, there's, and this is where, again, the data has to be taken with a grain of salt. Stray data has been registered on the high end and the extremely low end. So sometimes, I've seen in 25 zones, 46, 47, 50, 60 miles an hour, some of those are physical impossibilities. When we see data that's in the 60s or 70s in certain roadways, it's almost, not that it's physically impossible, it's highly unlikely that data is correct. However, we don't remove that data. We just say, okay, this is the data.
Sure.
There's gonna be some stray numbers. I think law enforcement can kind of attest to if they've seen people going 70 or 80 on certain.
Probably them.
It may be them, absolutely.
Full sirens, baby.
And it could be exactly as well.
Question, is it sorted by time of day?
It is sorted absolutely by
time. Okay, great, that's good to see.
And it's 24 hours. You get all the midnight drivers. And
Because I would expect to see, you know, if you saw a stray and it was 3 in the morning, it could be true.
It could be true, absolutely.
When you talk about, you know, the 15% that are over that range, I think is the ones that the community is most concerned with. And when you have numbers like that, are there engineering solutions that would help bring that number down?
So the one that jumps out and probably everybody who's interested always turns to is speed humps, straight up. Those are physical obstructions which are going to slow folks down. Okay. However, studies have shown that once you put in speed humps, those who want to exceed the speed limit tend to go over them and then speed up to make up time. So what you might be doing is, unless you have a series of speed humps, which you could do that, what'll happen is you're kind of pushing the problem further down. And the other part of it is in a roadway network that we have in Discovery Bay, if you were to pick a road that you're seeing really high speed, relatively higher speeds on, and you put in speed humps, there's going to be a likelihood people start taking the alternate routes. So that's where you're trying to use kind of brute force to try to slow people down. And that can be effective in somewhat of a short term, even a long term method. But the other part of that is, again, we got to look at kind of what the implications could be. And even speed humps also have been shown to slow down emergency vehicles and things like that. So that has to be taken into consideration.
And one last question on Secretary. Is how does it compare with the reports that you took in 2014, for example?
So pretty much the numbers have come in fairly similar. Unfortunately, the data we've been able to refine the numbers better, but the numbers we had in 15 and some in Regatta Drive in 2012, they were in a more of a range. So we have a 31 to 35. Now we've been able to refine it down to the exact 85 percentile. So what we find is everything's pretty much coming in a range, fairly close to a range.
So the reason for that question, is it getting worse or is it staying about the same?
It's pretty much staying about the same. Now, Sandpoint Road and Willow Lake Road, this is the first time, and those are pretty significant. I'd say significantly higher, so I'd want to keep an eye on those two roads in particular. Maybe do another count to make sure that there's nothing unusual about that. But where we have been able to compare, they're fairly similar.
I want to get back to the speed humps again for a moment. So there are several places that throughout Brentwood that have put these in. The speed limit may be 25, but when you get to the hump, you cannot go 25. I mean, you could, but it's not comfortable. I mean, you have to slow to about 15 to go over these humps. So how effective are they at enforcing the speed limit if they are designed to make you go slower than the speed limit? I'm confused about why that is effective.
I think it's the approach to the speed hump, right? If there's no speed hump and you just see straight, wide roadway, you'll tend to pick up speed. But this is, in essence, an obstruction that forces you to slow down. And typically, you will see them in residential roadways.
Yeah.
People what I hear a lot is, hey, put it on this major road, or whatever it may be, an arterial collector. We really can't do that.
I'm okay.
But do you find that the digital signs that read speed back to the driver, do you find those as an effective way of slowing things down?
So the effect of, well, I can again turn to studies that have been shown. They tend to show folks that want to obey the law, that famous 85% of the law. It is effective for those folks. They tend to slow down. Then you have the folks who are probably in that 15% up, which actually try to get that number up.
They're going to do what they're going to do.
With that being said, it does have somewhat of a deterrent effect, especially if there's enforcement behind it. So if you're driving by the same thing every day and you're going past the speed limit and there's no enforcement, it diminishes its value.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Next, the Sheriff's Office.
Good evening, Deputy Ingersoll of the Sheriff's Department. Local resident deputy here for Discovery Day. Tony's not here tonight, so I'll do my best to fill in for him. Last month, we had roughly 1,000 calls for service in the Delta Station. Out of those, Discovery Bay had 23 select calls for service. Looks like our main calls for service that have gone up slightly were burglaries, miscellaneous burglaries. Again, it looks like, you know, vehicles not being locked, crimes of opportunity, people just not, you know, taking some items out of their vehicles, things like that. And the other one was some vandalism. It's kind of gone up last month. Again, it's not a huge spike. Our calls for Discovery Bay are actually down slightly from the month prior. So, you know, we are looking at, you know, curbing that. Last Friday, we also had Coffee with Cops, and that was a good turnout. I don't know the exact numbers, but it was definitely a decent turnout. We're at Tess's Kitchen, Fixler, and Gossler. So, I don't have any printed out reports to give you like Tony normally does, so I apologize. Any questions for me?
Can you give us an update on radar and LIDAR?
Yeah, so right now we're still running one car that has the radar on it, and both myself and my partner, the other resident deputy, are running the handheld LIDAR units. Again, we run it in between calls for service and report writing, things like that. It seems to be working well. Most of the citizens I know personally that I come in contact with, when I am forcing the speed, they're receptive to it. You know, most of them know they're speeding, and they understand that we're out here enforcing it now. So.
You have a sense of how many stops or citations you've issued?
I can only speak for myself. I know I'm probably getting anywhere probably between like 10, 15 a month, approximately. Again, that's between calls of service and you know, other community care acts that I'm on as well. So again, that's just a rough number off the top of my head without actually pulling up any stats or anything.
Any questions?
No. I really wish that the sheriff would leave a car moving around town and just leave it parked in different intersections.
Clayton used to do that. Get me a
big car. If you got an extra car,
I don't have those cars available.
Maybe we should go buy a used one. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Debbie. CHP.
Good evening, Warden. Officer Thomas of California, I'm Patrol Contrast Area. Last month, the stats I got was there's 4 DUI arrests out here, 1 arrest for warrant. 11 citations for speed, 13 for registration, 2 for improper passing, 3 equipment violations, which is like window tint or something like that. 2 seatbelt violations, 4 miscellaneous rules of the road, and then 7 others, which is like a cell phone type thing. Greg did forward me some concerns he has over in his area, and I did pass on the power speed up above my pay grade and stuff, so hopefully we're getting some help on that. I'm one of the radar coordinators for our office, and we've had an issue with our radars getting out of, for NHTSA standards, it's 36 months, they have to be calibrated. Our department does 30 months because they're always a little step up. We had a contract delay on getting some of the units certified or back up calibrated, but we've got some back, so we're trying to get some additional patrol cars outfitted, which, you know, we think our patrol cars should all have radars. And then the guy, Officer Taylor, that comes out here, his unit's been down for a little bit, so he's kind of been doing some pacing type stuff. But radar is an extremely useful tool, and especially in cars with the sheriff. I'm glad they've got that additional resource and stuff. I wrote down some information that we got from County Roads, excuse me, to pass on to the office about the speed surveys that they did there. Did all of that. Do you guys have any questions for me or anything?
Just want to say thanks. We've missed you. It's nice to have you back.
It's good feedback. It's nice to get away for a little bit, but it's, you know, you miss certain aspects of it. So. Yeah. If you guys have any questions for me, so the meeting can keep going, I'll step outside for a minute. So, okay?
Thank you, Officer Thomas.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next, we have liaison reports. Anything on any of them? Code enforcement, did you go to code enforcement?
No,
did not.
I got a call from a neighbor complaining about Marina Circle, and that there's issues with parking and vandalism and a whole wild little neighborhood going on there. And I told him we should probably talk to code enforcement. There's a lot of cars that are parking illegally and those things. And I told him to call the CHP.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
The sheriff now has a community services officer that can handle parking issues that
way. Oh, okay.
So
this is all, unfortunately, this is on private property. I got the same call.
Okay.
This is a private parking area inside of Lido Circle. It's marked red, and you'd never get an emergency vehicle in there based on how they're parking now, but it's an HOA problem.
Gotcha.
No problem.
All right. No presentations. Item G1, enterprise bond update. Mr. General Manager.
Okay. Can I have Dina do the reports on these?
Aware, we are doing an enterprise bond for our filtration and our water meter project. Dan Shaw from Brenda's Talman and Brian Quinn from Quinton Timic had given the district staff a list of items that they needed to complete. Those items today have been complete, and then they actually requested that we have the June 30th, 2016 financial audit included in our financial data. So I ordered Paulie with Cochise San Bernardino and Vanderbee, and they have been working very, very hard to get us that data. I just today received the draft audit, so I will be reviewing that and sending it out to them. And they will be here on March 15th to have the board approve the audit. So we're moving along smoothly, and hopefully we close this soon. Do you have any questions?
Questions?
No.
Has anything come up in the audit so far?
I just received it at the end of day today, so I haven't had a chance to take a look at it. Do
you have an estimated time for where we close this out?
Yeah, so when I wrote this, it was May 1st. It looks like it's going to be the last week of April. So we're slowly trying to close that gap sooner.
Okay, so we have the audit coming on the 15th, followed by a closing at the end of
April. That's correct. Yes.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks,
Dean. Bi-monthly water meter completion report.
Yeah, you're going to need public comment.
I apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
We have public comment on that. If you want to step up. Sorry.
Okay.
My apologies.
Yeah, Kathy, Frank, this has been 940 story report. At the last CSB meeting, I explained that Mark's Bruce bonds are taxation without representation. I would like to know if the CSB has plans to continue using Mark's Bruce bonds, and who on the CSB board supports the continued use of these bonds that do not require a homeowner vote. Thank you.
I don't believe we use Mark's Bruce bonds.
No.
We don't use Mark's Bruce bonds. Never have.
So I'm not in favor of it.
I don't think you're going to find anybody in this room in favor of Mark's response. After.
Well, he asked. I'm just saying.
I know what Miller's response is. I don't know what Mark's response
is. It's a different style.
Is it? I've never heard him.
Yeah. Okay, no other questions? Nina, thank you. Now moving on to the water meter completion report.
I'm giving you an update from August 2016 to December 2016. So far to date, we have a $3.1 million project. So far to date, the expenses are $247,000, using 8% of the budgeted utilized. We spent $187,000 on product, and it looks to be we have $59,000 on staffing through the end of December.
I just wanted to show you some pictures. This is the guys working out at Windward Court. This was last week. So you can see the backhoe, and you can see a couple of them in there in the background. But the first one, you can see a guy laying down, you know, himself off into the meter box. So. Phase one looks to be, we had 281 installations that are completed as of Friday of February 24th. The map shows more of the west side of Discovery Bay and have not implemented or have not put in the completed ones at Windward Court as of yet. Once that street was completed, then they'll add in the map. So my next presentation will have that updated for you. That is it. Simple, easy. Any questions?
Pictures, I like it. Yeah, yeah. Good.
And those ones that were skipped were just because of construction and difficulties or something?
Yeah, those are mostly, those could be, type 3, and they have some difficult problems. Yeah. So they were skipped so that they can keep moving along, and then they'll come back to the type 3s.
So what's the time frame for coming back? Is that a week, 2 weeks, or undetermined at this point?
Really, maybe you can help with that.
We are, as when we complete, I'm sorry, I apologize. When we complete phase one on the type one and type twos, which we believe will probably be sometime next week, maybe the end of next week, then we will take all the type threes, which are generally in concrete driveways or sidewalks, and the difficult ones, we will attack them then. And then once that's completed, then we'll start our phase two parking. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have public comment. Frank, did you want to say something?
Yes, I do. First of all, on March 1st, I have an email between myself
let's stay with water meters.
Right, all right, water meters. Let's talk about water meters. In July of 2006, the California Supreme Court ruled that metered rates for consumed water are property-related fees subject to Proposition 218. The ruling also applies to sewer service charges. Please explain why the CSB board then did not get to vote and did not vote on the water and the sewer rate increases. That's the first part. Second part, other cities have opt-out programs for smart water meters. Please explain what the CSB board is doing about an opt-out program. I sent a formal request to Mike Davies' email to opt out. Just as with PG&E smart meters, smart water meters will not be allowed on my property due to radio frequency radiation. The cost of the Badger, a Badger lead-free analog meter, is approximately $147. The installation should be less than the type 1 construction for the Badger smart meters currently being installed in
Stratton. Just ask me.
Thank you, Frank. Any other discussion?
Yeah, Mr. President, can I get just a point of clarification? I'm sorry, I didn't catch. You said you were referring to a case, and I didn't catch it. I apologize.
I'll give you it's a Supreme Court decision. I will get the case number for you and send it to you by email.
Just the name is appropriate.
I didn't include that in my notes. I just know it's in 2006 California Supreme Court.
No problem. Would the board like a quick update on where we're at?
Sure.
Thank you. So I have responded directly to Mr. Visentin, both regarding the Prop 218 and the need for an election or a vote regarding the bond. So I have provided that response. I'm happy to share that with you at your leisure. As to the opting out, it is what we're working on. Staff is working on providing that opportunity. It is not a requirement by either state law or by any kind of statute requiring that you allow people to opt out. However, I believe it's going to be staff's recommendation that we allow those people that want to opt out to opt out. As we understand it at this point in time, the meter reading portion of the meter, the automatic portion of the reader, which carries the privacy issues along with it, carries the radiation issues along with it, depending on who you read and which expert you believe, can be removed from the meters that we're actually installing. And so we just remove that component. What we would then be doing is we would include on the bill, as you recall, we have several line items on the bill associated with the carried interest, the principal, the 3- and 5-year, 10-year term. We would just add another line for the cost associated with manual meter reading. And I've had a conversation with Mr. Byzantine regarding that, and he's agreeable to having a line item on there associated with the cost associated with manual reading. So we haven't finalized all of this yet. We're still trying to figure out how we work this out. Again, it's another accounting issue just on top of multiple accounting issues. So we're working that out, but that is probably going to be something that we offer them. It doesn't seem like there would be any objection to that, but since they're picking up all the costs.
Okay, so this is not a decision the board's going to make. This is a decision staff's going to make. Is that what you're telling me?
At this point in time, we haven't decided that. General Manager and I haven't had a discussion regarding it as to how we're going to bring this forward, whether it's something he feels comfortable just offering and including, or whether we're going to bring it back to you and offer it for your discussion and decision.
We have until January to figure that out.
We have some time.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Just in regards to the project as it is currently moving forward, there were some concerns conveyed to myself and also on that infamous site next door that was with regards to contaminated water entering homes, dirt, and other items that were being that appeared to be coming through the water after the installation occurred, and the suggestion was made by some people on the site that that people should be instructed to backwash through their hose bib to clean out that. And I clarified with Virgil and our crews that we're doing that at every home. We backflush and we clean out. So if there was some brown water or something that came into some people's homes, it probably was not. I mean, there's a possibility something could sneak by because a bit of the water doesn't get to the hose bib. But I just wanted, for clarification purposes and to be on the record, to say that that is the part of the process that we're using on a regular basis as a standard operating procedure, which is to make sure that we can do everything we can to clean any rock, dirt, soot. And we there's very little getting in there because of the way that we're doing the installation. But there's been some concerns in the community. I just wanted to make sure that it was on the record that that is our standard operating procedure.
Thank you. Anything else? Moving on then to item H, manager report. I don't see any. Let's see the informational items, director reports, standing committee reports. But have a report they need to make. General manager's report.
No report.
Moving on to item L, correspondence received. There are 4 items here, and I have a speaker card for item L3 from Mr. Hall.
Thank you. Bill Helfrich, 661 Beaver Court. In my public document record request, I asked for 2 items. The first item had 4 subparts. All those documents have been received. I appreciate it. Thank you. I did, though, ask the second item to be directed to the CSD meeting minutes, which memorialize the authorization of additional $1,252 payment to the Bob Murray and Associates. I, just to tell you, I've gone back and opened and read the minutes, and I can't find it. I never authorized. I did find one special closed session meeting where there was an implication that there was a discussion about the general manager.
Thank you. Do you want to reiterate your statement?
I can.
If you'd like to.
Thank you. So at this point in time, we have no further documents responsive to Mr. Helfrich's request. The minutes that you approved in tonight's meeting are the minutes that authorize the expenditure regardless of what you would have done in closed. Otherwise, in meetings, the minutes weren't reflected in. So the minutes from last meeting where you authorize the final payment and final resolution are all we have that's responsive to that request.
Thanks, Council. Any future agenda items?
We need to revisit, and I'll have some more information, but I would like on the next meeting to revisit the letter that we sent forward with regards to supporting alternative tax implications with regards to the ECCFPD. We sent a letter forward, and I think we need to revisit that letter.
Okay. General Manager, put that on the agenda. This is a revisit of a letter we sent 6 months ago.
And I'll probably have an alternate letter that I would propose to at that time.
Move to closed session.
Thank you. Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session per the item on the agenda listed as 01.
Is there a likelihood of action after cabinet?
Well, tell me how it works. Is it a bond?
Okay, I'll call the meeting back into session. Legal counsel report.
Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors is reconvening to open session from closed session and has no reportable action. However, if I might, my associate has corrected me, and so I want to correct for the record, since Mr. Visentin is still here, that the bond that is being offered through the Public Financing Authority is, and we did respond to him by way of email, is a Mark Roos bond. But it is not still, and that's what we've answered to Mr. Visentin, which I probably commingled my words, it is not a bond or a requirement that is one either Melarus or one that requires a vote of the public.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
You're adjourned.